When the Church of England published its inquiry into sexual abuse carried out by clergy back in 2010, they said, "We have done all that we can to ensure that it has been as comprehensive as possible." Not so, said some critics of the church, including some who had been abused. The church then ordered a review into its review. They asked the former head of Barnardo's, Sir Roger Singleton, to look into how the abuse allegations had been dealt with. And he is about to report, and he is in our studio with me this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How badly did the church botch that investigation?
Well, it botched it, I think, in three ways. First of all, the survey wasn't completely comprehensive. It didn't include, for example, some cathedrals. It didn't include employees working with children in some parishes. So the attempts, really, to make the survey absolutely complete were flawed. Secondly, in the public statement that it issued reporting on the review, then it rather failed to give a comprehensive picture of the concerns that existed. It narrowed down the definitions of who had actually been responsible for abuse by limiting it to just new cases and cases where the church took formal action. And this had the impact of reducing the numbers from probably nearer 100 to just 2, which appeared in the public press statement.
And does that amount to an orchestrated cover-up of what happened?
I think it's important that I make clear that we found no evidence whatsoever of a planned, deliberate attempt to mislead.
Because you did find emails, didn't you, that seemed to suggest that the reputation of the church and of the then Archbishop of Canterbury was something that was very much in people's minds.
Yes, that is true. And I think one of the factors that led those who prepared the press statement to emphasise the positive points for the church and rather to downplay the negative aspects was, in fact, almost as Lord Harris has already referred to in Thought for the Day, an attempt to really protect the interests of the church.
The other thing it didn't do is talk at all, really, to survivors, to people who said they'd been victims of abuse.
That is true.
Which seems extraordinary.
I think looking back from the perspective of today, it is extraordinary. I think probably 10 years ago, the importance of listening to victims and survivors was less well understood than it is now. But there is no doubt that some victims and survivors came forward and offered to meet with the independent reviewers who were carrying out this work, and that offer was refused. I think on the more positive side, one should say that this was a well-intentioned attempt to try and ensure that whatever knowledge the church may have of people who had actually abused children, then their circumstances were carefully looked at, and if it was necessary to report them to the police, they were reported.
It's not going to sound very well-intentioned, is it, though, once you've reported to those who were victims, when you say so clearly that actually the thinking behind this was not necessarily to be as comprehensive as it seemed to be sensible to be.
I accept that point. I think the facts equally are, though, that over 40,000 files were actually reviewed. And I think one does have to say that in the 10 years that followed in the last decade, then in fact the church has made strong efforts to improve its policies, to improve its training, and in fact to make more resources available.
And that then brings us to what should happen now. As a result of your report, which hasn't yet been published, when it is published, and we'll say the things that you've just said to me, what should happen, and specifically, should there be prosecutions?
I think in relation to prosecutions, we found no evidence at all that people had broken the law. What should happen now is that the church needs to complete the incomplete job that it made 10 years ago by making sure that all files that are available are actually reviewed.
And should there be mandatory reporting to the police where there is suspicion? Because that's something that is still not clear that the church has really come round to that as an idea.
Well, mandatory reporting doesn't exist in any context at the moment. The government recently declined to proceed with mandatory reporting.
Should the church?
But I think the church certainly could do with improved guidance on those circumstances where, in fact, people who have abused children or who have been the subject of allegations of abuse should actually be referred to the police and the children's
improved
services.
Guidance. You're saying we should go to a position, the church should go to a position where it's absolutely clear that where there has been a serious allegation, it should go to the authorities.
That's right. And I believe that the practice has much improved recently to that effect. I think the other thing that the church really needs to do is to put as much emphasis on prevention, on trying to make sure that unsuitable people do not get into positions of trust within the church, as it is now giving to ensuring that allegations are properly reported.
Sir Roger Singleton, thank you very much.